Welcome to Modcast, an official podcast of Politan Civilization site.
Bota Snidus.
Kenneth Perland.
Tony Keel. With guest co-hosts Tim Pratt and Jacob Turner.
So, Ken, I played Civ Colonization last night for the first time.
Uh-huh.
And let me just say, I was pretty impressed by the game. I was a lot more impressed than I expected to be.
Nice, nice.
Good job.
Have you gotten to the revolution and the war portion yet?
Oh, no, I just started a trial game. I got to three colonies before I was too tired to stay and keep playing.
Mm. Yeah, it's pretty easy at the beginning. I mean, when you're just, you know, building and making your colonies at first. What a lot of people are saying, and it, I think it's certainly true, is that the war at the end is very difficult.
Ah.
So you have to prepare for it.
Revolutionary War.
A lot of the game. I mean, yeah. I mean, when you're playing Civ 4, it's like, oh, I kind of get an idea of whether I'm winning or not, because I've got those little graphs. And, oh, my score is higher than everyone else's. Woo, you know? And unless you really get yourself in a really bad situation where you've got one or two empires ahead of you in score, and they're starting to breathe down your necks militarily, then you're doing well. In this, you can't really compare yourself to the other European powers on the map. Because you can stomp them down to nothing.
And they'll just send more troops.
That's inconsequential. No. I'm saying, like, if you're England and you stomp the Spanish colony, that doesn't win you the game. You have to defeat the king.
Defeat the king.
And that's... Yes.
Well...
And it's very easy for that to say people, like, oh, I'm winning, and I've defeated all the other colonies. And then it's like, oh, king. Smackdown.
Welcome to Modcast episode... 1D. We are now in the double digits of double digits. So, today, joined with Wilder, Lacutus, Snyders,
hello,
Kenneth, Impaler, WRG, Ferland,
standing by,
Tim, Rough High, Pratt,
g'day,
me, Tony, Garrett, Zaka, Keel, with special guest co-host Jacob Zian Wolf Turner.
Hello.
So, a lot of fun to be had today. All kinds of crazy crap to talk about.
I believe it's pronounced Zeno.
No,
isn't it
Zian?
Okay.
See, I'm
Zian?
Right,
okay.
Canon. You are wrong once again.
Well, that's actually how the word Zeno is pronounced. You don't.
You're talking about. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Now you're starting to anger me.
If he was Chinese, it'd be Zheng.
Yeah, I actually realized it was a Chinese name, and I misspelled a French name. And, yeah. Turns out some other guy out there on the internet's trying to use it. How dare him? It's probably his real name or something.
Oh, terrible, terrible. I'm lucky that at least no one uses my handle online. And usually if I see my name taken up at a website, it's because the admin added me without my permission, so I have to call their ass.
You know, it reminds me, I was on another game forum, and some guy happened to have the name Kale in his name. And people were like asking, oh, are you the guy who did that mod? And he's like, no, I just have the same name. This is for, like, not Civilization 4. It's like
I have no idea who this Kale
is. Your fame is spreading beyond other games.
Leave me alone, I don't know you. Today in the news, we talked a little bit about Spore and the very first Spore mods by Rick.
So in the early sketch patch, we talked about the Marauder from Battletech by the Coyote and some Imperial Japanese troops by Chuggy.
Today in Code Corner, we looked at a small, very small mod by Omni on the Jump, who created a mod that actually produces nothing.
And today in the Modder Spotlight, we look at the Fall Further mod, an expansion mod for Fall from Heaven, made by Vihem and Xenowolf.
Here's what's been making the news in the Civ community.
Now, I have to give a particular shout-out to our great buddy, Soren Johnson. Now, Soren isn't really with the Civ community at the moment, but he did release a little game called Spore.
All by himself?
I don't know if you guys heard of it.
Spore? Never heard of it.
No, no, not at all.
Who would buy a game about mushrooms?
No, it's not about mushrooms.
No, he said store. It's about going to the supermarket.
No,
right?
no. Spore as in, I don't know. I don't know.
It's going out to the supermarket after you've run out of installs?
Ooh,
to throw the
burn. No. With all the copy protection stuff aside, have any of you guys played Spore yet?
Yeah, me too.
Nope.
I did the creature creator thing that you could download free.
I downloaded that thing and then it didn't work.
I've seen the ad for it.
Probably because I didn't have a good enough video card.
Well, I've been playing Spore for a couple weeks now since it came out and... No. It's fun. It's different than Civ. It has a little bit of a Civ element, but nothing that can compare to the complexity of Civilization. I mean, but it's more of a very simplified version of Civ, and you start off as a cell, and then you go on to a land-based critter, and then you go to a tribe, and then after that you go to a Civ stage, which I'm pretty sure Soren had a hand in.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the only thing he had a hand in. They pretty much brought him in at the end, like, hey, this section of the game sucks, make it like Civ, so we'll rock, you know?
And then after you beat the Civ stage, you go to outer space. But, outer space is, probably the most staggering part of the game, because, once you play it, you're like, you're one little tiny star system that you've been in the whole time of the game, and then you zoom out from the star system to an entire galaxy of thousands and thousands and thousands of star systems.
Yeah, well, you know what they'll come out with after that? They'll have like an expansion pack where you can go from your galaxy to the billions upon billions of other galaxies.
Hey, that's a good idea, baby.
You know?
He's listening right now.
And at
now.
That point, you've actually become non-corporeal. You're like, we're made of pure energy and thought now.
No. They have to come out with a Spore Big Bang. They'll come out with Spore Big Bang, and it'll turn out that if you didn't use the right organelles during your stage where you're a cell, then the universe doesn't have enough mass, so it contracts, and you get a new Big Bang, and you have to start all over.
Oh, great.
So it's a guessing game. Do I use the pink one or the blue one?
Oh, jeez.
And you only find out after 50 hours of gameplay.
Oh, great.
Obviously.
Well, all humor aside, I played Spore, and I liked a lot of what I saw, but a couple things I didn't like, and for a little bit of searching, I found out that someone has actually released Spore mods, and I'll briefly go over them. There's a one mod that modifies the Staff of Life, which anyone who's beaten the game would know about, to infinite use, and there's also a hack that changes the way the space gameplay is, so it has less random events because you're often just like, bombarded with crap you have to do instead of the fun stuff you choose to do. And then finally, and probably my favorite mod, and also the most controversial, would be an asymmetry hack. Now, if you've used the creature creator, you know that all of the things you add to your creature have to be symmetric. Like, if you put an eyeball on one side, it'll be an eyeball on the other side, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Bilateral symmetry. Well, the asymmetry hack gets rid of that. So if you want two eyeballs, you got to buy two separate ones, and you can have arms sticking out here, and just the freakiest creature of them all. And I believe someone who's only known as Rick has done these first mods for the game. So we're actually, I want to cover because these are the first mods ever for the game.
Are these, like, do any kind of supported modding system? I mean, how does he get the code? What does he use some script? Does he get in there and hex edit the thing? I mean, how's it done?
Well, here's what I understand, that Spore uses something called the EA package, Matt. It's like .package. And when you download these hacks and mods, you just have to drop them into your bin with the rest of the packages that are already in there, and it just reads them somehow. Now, exactly how he does that, well, not many people know because we're still trying to figure out how to mod Spore.
Hmm.
But you just pop this file in, and it then reads the file and implements it in the game.
Okay, so this guy's definitely written some, must have figured out how to do this, some of the source to those packages, and then able to create his own, which doesn't sound easy at all.
No.
It sounds like some pretty deep magic, as they say.
Yeah.
I don't know who this Rick fellow is, but maybe he's an insider of some sort. I don't know.
Maybe.
Knows these things, you know.
Followed a couple of links there. And they've got some other guy who's made a Spore Edit version 1.8 based off of this guy's code. So it looks like modding might pick up pretty quickly for Spore here. It's definitely doesn't look very friendly, but it looks versatile. There's a little bit of hex type work going on there in one of the screenshots they've got.
Yuck.
Mm. Yeah, well, I guess the final format for their creatures must be pretty light.
It's a PNG.
They can compress it into a PNG, so that's like, boy. But there must be a lot of interesting stuff happening in there in that PNG compression.
I looked at the thumbnail for the PNG. You know how Windows will open a thumbnail? My graphics editor doesn't show this when I use GIMP, because I think it's very lightly drawn, but around the screen, like a PNG is just a screenshot of the creature, and then some static all around the creature's body in the screenshot. So I actually think that static is the procedural graphics commands.
Ah, yeah. I think they had to be hiding the data in there somewhere.
It's just barely off transparency. You can't see it in the graphics editor, but you can see it in the Windows thumbnail.
Hmm. So is it in the alpha layer?
I think it's just barely not transparent. I think the commands are just hardly there, but they're visible to the program.
Hmm.
That makes sense, because PNG is one of the few image formats that actually supports transparency. Otherwise they would have probably used something like JPEG. That makes a lot more sense if you can get away with it, because it's more widely supported.
Well, the PNGs are pretty widely supported as well. I haven't had too much problems opening
it. It's getting there now, but for years it was really a problem, and still old browsers and that sort of stuff still has a lot of trouble with.
Now, really briefly, I wanted to bring up some crazy stuff that was talked about on some Spore forums about the asymmetry hack. Now, if you guys know, Spore uploads all its crap to the internet, so everyone shares their creatures with everyone else in single player games. Huh.
Good point.
But what would the asymmetry hack do to their database?
Yeah.
What would happen there?
I'm sure they must have thought of how to protect the database from illogical file formats or incompatible file formats if it's so easy to make one.
Well, we'll see about that.
I mean, I think I read or heard an interview with Will Wright, and he actually did talk about this hack even before the game was released, because people were already messing with that with the creature creator. And he did say originally they had asymmetry stuff in there. They removed it to make the game less complex, but deliberately sort of left the hooks in there so that modders could get to it. So I think in this case they did anticipate it and they worked with it. Will be interesting to see if people do more, even more extreme stuff than that does.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, Boar has some great replay value, but nothing like Civilization with its multiple mods of every kind. And, you know, I think Spore needs definitely to have a modding from.
Well, if you think about it, everything in Spore is a mod in the sense
of
make it yourself, and then it's got this automatic sharing system.
Graphics editor.
Modeling and graphic editor. Supposedly, there's a whole bunch of other data in there as well, like just how you play the game. If you play aggressively, the creatures will actually learn to be aggressive. So there's supposed to be personality characteristics as well.
It's called consequence abilities. If you eat all the other creatures in the early stages, you're going to have, you know, vicious battle abilities later.
Digestion.
So, this is a shout-out, Johnson. Thanks for making a great game. Let's try to freaking mod it.
In the Artist's Sketchpad, we discuss graphics and artwork from the modding community.
Now, pick a little bit of artwork today, Wouter.
Hmm?
Wouter.
I didn't pick anything.
Have you ever heard of Battletech?
No, I have not.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Wow. Well.
Okay, have you ever heard of MechWarrior?
MechWarrior, yeah.
That sounds vaguely familiar, yes.
Well,
it's like a game, right? I think I may have played it at some point. But
yeah, I mean, everyone should know what MechWarrior is. Battletech kind of, yeah, that's kind of.
If you're a game lover. Actually, the video games for Battletech have petered out, so.
Yeah.
There may be some people who haven't heard about it, but I think one of the very first 3D rendered games was MechWarriors 2.
Yeah, I played a MechWarrior 4 like several years ago, and it was really quite nice.
Yeah, MechWarriors 4 is fun.
You could customize. Mm.
the best MechWarriors game was MechWarriors 2 Mercenaries was absolutely delicious.
That's the one I've got. I've played that one.
Yeah, MechWarriors 2, not MechWarriors 4 Mercenaries. MechWarriors 4 Mercenaries is good, but they lost a lot of the magic from the first Mercenaries.
Yeah.
Do they always call their expansion pack Mercenaries?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you know, they had MechWarriors 2, and they had MechWarriors 2 Ghost Bear's Legacy, and then they had MechWarriors 2 Mercenaries.
Wait, did you say Ghost Bears?
Yes, they have Ghost Bears. It's a clan.
Look out, bears! Number one threat. And it's worse, they're ghosts now.
The Coyote has just started a... Oh, never mind, he finished it. He had made the mech I recall seeing in Civ. Maybe there's more, but I haven't seen
you...
him.
Played the...
But the giant death robot.
Yeah, the BTS. Future month.
Duh.
Well, no, what I mean specifically is that mech is not from the BattleTech universe.
Well, a mech is a mech.
Oh, okay. Well, of course it's not, because Fraxxas isn't going to pay the royalties for the BattleTech mechs.
Well, they're probably not too expensive these days, the Coyote has released the Marauder, and many people who are in the BattleTech universe would instantly recognize it. But it's a bipedal mech with chicken walker legs and two large arms with weapon pods and a dorsal cannon and some heat sinks around the side. And the mech looks kind of like a catapult mech, but has arms instead of missile pods. So very cool. Are you seeing this graphics?
Yeah, I see the unskinned version, and then one with a very nice red-black skin on it.
It looks like it shoots all of its guns when you fire. That's pretty cool, the shooting graphics.
Yep. I was sort of hoping that the top, the dorsal gun there, was a separate piece, so it could, you know, shock back when he takes a shot. Sort of like how some people modified the ships to do.
I would be cool if all the guns did that a little bit, the real recoil.
Recoil.
And it looks like when you when you kill it, its leg busts off and it falls on its butt.
Which is exactly what they used to do in MechWarrior. One, your leg used to fall off, and then it used to fall off to the side. So.
Don't shoot my legs! Shoot me where I have armor!
Well, you said you played MechWarrior 2. That was the whole strategy. You'd get the locust, and you'd go after their thigh.
Yeah, the locust sucks.
This guy was great, because he sat between his arms, and he couldn't do anything.
I'm sorry, I'm not a player. What I went is I put in a 100-ton mech, drop two old AC-20s in there, and full armor.
Just run around with the Atlas.
Yeah. Brah, brah.
What, you mean crawl around?
And blast them to chunks.
See, I'd be the guy behind you shooting your heat sink.
Yeah, well, no, I don't need heat sinks. I just got two Ultra AC-20s, no heat. So, tear them up. Tear them up. I challenge anyone listener to duel me.
It's cold, Tony.
Battle tank. I live here in Arizona. Bring your mech, I'll bring mine.
Okay.
Well, you see, you're in a desert environment, you know? So, you know, you got to be careful there.
I'll stand my mech in Lake Pleasant.
Low heat weapon.
Cool off that way.
Yeah. What are those Arctic environments? Those are the ones that, you know, they cool you off really easy. They don't need any heat sinks.
All I got to say is, the Coyote, let's see a whole slew of mechs and make a little tiny MechWarriors mod. Make it an actual mod that simulates the combat for MechWarriors. I don't know how you do it, but it'd be freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you could make them a civilization and have, like, a warrior mech, which is, like, pathetic, all the way up to your
sweet tank.
Yeah. I mean, even the MechWarrior universe has, guys in mechanical suits. What do they call them? The infantries of some sort. So you could have the whole complex mech battles.
Elementals, that's what they're called.
Of, I've got my city, and I've got, you know, I take out all the buildings and replace it. Oh, yeah, that's it. And you, like, put in mech factory and infantry factory and tank factory, and then you just make shit, and you send it off to attack your neighbors. Like,
it'd be sweet.
You know?
But the Coyote, you did great on this model. And keep up the good work. We also have some Japanese Imperial troops by Chuggy, and these units look pretty nice. If you can see the screenshot there, It reminds me of perhaps, are these World War II or World War I?
It could probably be both. I don't think that the uniforms changed all that much between the two World Wars for the Japanese.
Well, they probably got rid of the horses, hopefully.
Yeah, obviously the horses are not World War II units. But the machine gunner looks age-appropriate. And then the rifleman, others, they look actually, look, he's got the teacup. That means he's using the rifleman animation. So it's not an infantry unit.
Oh, I love the little cup.
The rifleman uniform actually looks a lot like what I think I saw in The Last Samurai. So maybe it's even pre-World War I.
Late, yeah? not 18th century.
Last Samurai, very cool movie.
With Tom Cruise and stuff.
Yeah. It's not really a World War One type uniform.
They look like they got good skins. I like his little sake bowl or water bowl he got in the top right.
Of course, it's not tea, it's sake now.
And I think these units would be good for anything from 18th century to World War II. I mean, it doesn't matter. You could find a home for these anywhere that has Japan in it.
Yeah, that's actually a good tip for Chuggy. You know, take the little cup and make it actually look a little more like a saucer.
Yeah.
More Japanese.
It looks awesome. A little bit of attention to detail, you know?
Yeah, little tiny details go a long way.
Oh, yeah.
If you scroll down, someone, Bernie, posted some actual pictures of various warriors' uniforms.
Let's scroll down more, and they've got Last Samurai pictures.
Russia, Japan.
Bernie14 makes a lot of great stuff.
Oh, there's the Last Samurai right there. That does look like...
Yeah, but that's Hollywood. I mean, how accurate is that?
Well, that guy's a samurai, and he's slaughtering that other guy. And
yeah.
And blood's spraying out. And he's not wearing a helmet because no one ever aims for his head.
Yeah.
Oh, but a lot of the uniforms there are about 1905, so that would, in fact, be before the First World War as well.
Yeah.
Sorry. You were right, Lucutus.
Of course I am.
Code Corner, where we discuss SDK and Python mods.
Now, we have a few minutes to talk about a tiny bit of code. It's a little one. It's not too huge, but it seems kind of useful. And we can thank Dan Q for the shout-out on this topic. Now, Ken, did you take a look at this little bit of code?
The Idle Cities?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to actually look at the code? Yeah. Okay, let me open it.
That's a...
Seems to be by someone named Onmyo Jiom. That's kind of a tongue twister. It sounds very Asian of a name, too.
Yeah, Onmyoji is a Japanese god, if I'm remembering correctly.
Wow. That's impressive that you know that.
Yeah, it just means I watch too much anime.
There's no such thing as too much anime.
My kid watches anime and says, anime? So, yeah, we have a lot of anime going on here.
Yeah, I got to go to the Otakon last month.
Oh, nifty.
That was very nice.
See, I actually thought this guy would have used some SDK for it, but it looks like, yeah, it was all just pure XML.
This is XML?
It's
really?
It's a process that does nothing.
Clever.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Yeah. Yep, there's no C++ here. It's just got process info file.
That's just XML?
Yep.
Oh, and you get it at the beginning of the game, I'm assuming?
No, it looks like he cloned the ability to, say, make science and turned it into another version which actually does nothing.
Does he add a graphic for the button on it?
Yeah.
He's got a little DDS file in there.
Oh, sweet.
Makes sense. I mean, you just don't give it any effects, rather than giving extra science or whatever.
Yep, modular mod.
Yeah. And he even has different language ports for it.
Completely non-intrusive.
It's so tiny. It's a little bitty pod.
It is totally tiny.
In English, it's called Idol. In French, it's Usif. In German, it's Unflügig. I don't know what I can't pronounce any of this.
And the graphic for it is the circle with the slash through it, the red circle with the red slash through it. So.
Oh. Because why would anyone actually want to do this?
Well, I kind of wish I had it. You know, what if you had a really productive city, and you built your wonder, you built your Stonehenge, you built your settlers, you built all buildings, and you're at negative 10 gold, so you can't build any more damn units. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've been in that situation a lot. Those players like me that suck, yeah, we need this process. We're sitting there going, all right, I'm doing 20% science, and I can only build a scout, a warrior, or a worker, but I need to make size 4 so I can work my settler.
Yeah. I've been there. It's rare in the regular game, but I've encountered it a couple of times in OCC as well. So.
Of course, if you just end your turn, or if you have minimized pop-ups turned on, I mean, then you don't have to give an order at all.
Well,
it sort of saves up some of the production.
Actually, better.
But this would be useful up until what, the currency?
Ah. Well, in science, it works forever.
Until you get something besides some other kind of work process.
I think that only happens for one turn. At the end of the second, turn, it bugs you again.
Until anything, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Could there be, like, a way to turn your hammers into more food?
Oh, that'd be a cool...
That would definitely... Like, even if it's 2 hammers to, like, 1 food, and if the only reason I'd ever want to do that would be I want to grow population. Can't do anything else.
Call it a process...
What would you call it?
A late game where you've got a factory and all the power's coming through and you're generating 100 hammers. That's 50 food. You can grow...
Yeah, exactly. And that would be fairly easy to exploit, I think, because a lot of food can be very, very powerful.
True, that would be.
But this is not even really too deep of code. It's just a little XML hack. And it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It's got a spot for use.
They obviously talked about this on Polycast, and the guy that requested it said, I'm getting sick of building warriors and then deleting them.
Yeah. 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 I do the scouts and then delete them.
Okay, well, I have a better way to delete the warriors. It's called battle.
The Spotlight is where we have a detailed discussion about one particular Civ 4 mod.
So, Jacob, I'm very glad that you came onto the show at short notice. Where are you from? Where are you calling from right now?
I'm in Troy, Idaho.
Idaho?
Tiny, tiny little town.
Do you guys produce potatoes?
Me personally, no. No. Other people in the area, supposedly.
Because I've always heard about Idaho potatoes just being, you know, the bomb diggity.
Yeah, I'm actually from Montana, and over there we're big on
potatoes are my favorite starch.
And there's beef everywhere, and it's great. Now I'm in Idaho, they're big on the potatoes, they export all of them. So you can't really find good potatoes around here.
Well, what do you get? Potatoes from, like, Brazil sent up to Idaho?
Yeah, I don't know where they get the stuff they got. I think it's all just home garden stuff. Little tiny, pathetic things.
Oh, man. That's crazy. What mod do you spend most of your time on?
Spend tons and tons of time, way more than I should, on Fall Further, which is actually a mod.
Ah.
Our first mod review, I believe.
There you go. Yeah, our first Spotlight mod, I think.
I figured you guys would get kick out of the fact that there's mods as well. That's great.
Well, we need to have mods.
So wait a minute, your mod has another mod for it? What's that called?
No,
there's
2 or 3 others. I lost track of who all uses our code base now, but there's 2 other people that are doing full civilizations. One's giants and the other one's undead. But we've done a lot with the SDK for enhancing even more than what Kale did for what a modder can do. And it's just pretty instinctive if you're going to be modding Fall From Heaven that you move over to Fall Further and use their stuff a little bit too.
Yeah.
Interesting. So do you see this kind of taking up the torch after Fall From Heaven is formally finished? Isn't it going to be around December here? Kale is going to retire?
Yeah, Kale's planning to be completely done. Like December 16th or so. And, yeah, we're thinking VHEM may be the next big guy on campus for people to lust after the next release.
Interesting.
So what happens when Civilization 5 comes out? Do you have to start again from scratch?
Have a computer in your brain.
Hopefully we're really, really old by then, and we don't know how to use computers anymore because they're all implants.
Tell me, what exactly is Fall Further? What do you add to Kale's work? What's your mod like?
Okay, well, it started out as VHEM's project, and he just had a couple of civilizations that he was working on to decide, you know, which one would be good for releasing as a mod since they were starting to become popular. And he came out with 3 that were really incredibly awesome. So, popped all 3 of them out there, and people started biting on it and picking it up, and pretty much every person who's discussed a new civilization since has been working towards getting Vehem to pick it up and throw it in. So we're up to 7 civilizations added now, and around the same time he started to do that, I was just poking around with the code, getting ready to one day do a mod, and I was just adding some fields to your promotion infos that people would look at it and they'd say, oh, well, that's sort of cute, but is there anything new in the game? I'd be like, no, mod it yourself. Do your own XML.
Hmm.
But finally, VM came along and he said, oh, hey, I can do really cool things that I've been using Python and making my game slow for. So started to form a team now for Fall Further.
Yeah, it's very similar to some of the things I would do. I would just code it, but not actually write a mod around it. So you just like, hey, here's some code. Here's, like, XML entries, and here's, you know, what they do if you put numbers in them. But it's like, that's it. And then you get another guy who wants to make the creative side of it, and like, oh, I'm going to make this promotion and that promotion, and then he'll actually start using the code, and you guys team up.
It looks like you added promotion for workers.
Yep.
Can you talk about those for a bit?
That was actually the first thing that got me to start modding personally, was people were talking about, you know, hey, why can't my workers get promotions and get better? And the one big thing that was missing from being able to do it as a modular mod was you had to be able to add a work rate to the units with promotion.
But how does the worker get XP?
Well, no, just so they could work better. Because, I mean, if you're going to give a promotion to a worker, he ought to be able to work better. So... we used the same thing that Kale already set up for his mages. Since they're really fragile and they can't live through combat, they have a random chance of getting XP per turn. So we just picked that up and said, okay, your workers right off the gate, they'll start to gain experience slowly.
I see.
And then that'll peter out at about, you know, a little 4 or 5. And if you haven't granted them the ability to learn more by that point, then your worker's going to sort of stagnate.
Hmm. So it's not linked to actually doing work? I mean, would that just been too complex to code?
Yeah, I see.
We didn't want the micromanagement of that, because then you would want to power game it by sending your worker out to build a farm, and then pillaging the farm, and then building another one.
Mm.
They're
just so you can get your worker the next promotion. And it's like, you know, well, not everyone will do that, but there's some people that have that compulsion, I want to power game.
Yeah, good point.
Then start to complain about it.
And I see one of the promotions is increased visibility range. Could that turn them into a unit that you could use with the army?
You could use them to help scout for the army, but the main point was just to let you get out there and keep your workers safe, because there's a lot of early game, high movement barbarians, and if your worker can't see
that's
what's coming,
cool.
He's toast. So we gave them the ability to get defensive strength, so you don't have to have a warrior tagging along with them, and better visibility range.
Yeah. Now, have you added any AI support for these features? That's not something a lot of people do, but...
Yeah, actually, I've been doing a lot of work with the AI. Just recently, I added a couple of rituals, which are the magical equivalent of projects, and one of the big complaints a lot of people have had is, you know, the AI doesn't understand Fall from Heaven, and so it really sucks, and everyone gets to play at a high difficulty level. Well, the new rituals I added have people complaining because the AI is pissing them off. One of them is Curse the Lands. You cast this one, and it's really hard to build. You can only do it while you're at war. But everyone you're at war with loses access to all bonuses.
All
the resources from the map, they don't get them anymore. Until they... Well, they have to complete 5 rituals to cleanse themselves and appease the gods. And the AI loves to build this one while they're at war, and they seem to coordinate it quite nicely to where the entire team will hit you in a staggered effect and keep
brutal.
You cursed. So you're forced to get into the war and get out as quick as you can, or you just aren't able to produce high-level units, and they'll kick the crud out of you.
They're nasty.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the work has just been adding in promotions that are either automatically gained when you meet the right conditions and lost when you don't, or promotions that just enhance your units in general. And for every one of them, I've always gone in and set it up to where the promotions have their own AI weight values, and then
good,
I run 2 or 3 AI autoplay games where I just watch a unit that should take the promotion to make sure that when it's appropriate, they do take it.
Yeah, I see there's at least a more than a dozen here different types of promotion prerequisites for everything from religion to technologies to buildings to terrains.
Yep.
I mean,
all that started
isn't a prerequisite yet.
corporations, and that's about it.
No way!
No,
I see prerequisite corporations. It's right there, number 15.
Oh crap! I did it. Okay, hey. No, up at my 39 and 40, auto acquire and must maintain. I just threw those in as sort of a, hey, if I put something in the code right here, the unit would just get the promotion. That's sort of cool. So I did it for the heck of it. And then we started playing with ideas of what you could do with that, and we realized that all sorts of really nifty things, like people talk about having an improvement that lets you have your units stronger while they're on the tile. And we were like, well, if an improvement was a prereq for a promotion that makes you stronger, and you automatically get it when you move, then we don't have to modify improvements. We just have to modify the promotion infos. And we've been finding more and more things that just by having your promotion automatically acquired when you meet the right prerequisites, it's just solid. I mean, we even have the feat system tied in as prereqs.
So it lets you simplify the code base a whole lot. Rather than making all these different changes throughout the whole game, you can just focus them on the promotion info files, both code-wise and then in the XML as well, too.
The one downside is that we're getting a gigantic promotion infos XML. But since we cut out all of the fields that aren't being used, you know, we don't have 517 instances of prereq building ors none.
Yeah.
You know.
So you've modified the loading.
It's still a pretty false file.
So, Zian Wolf, what kind of player do you think would be wanting to download this mod? Mod.
Probably anyone that likes a complicated game and is willing to do fantasy junk, as some people would refer to it as. I mean, you aren't going to get the high-tech tanks and all that stuff, but you get to play with dragons, undead. So pretty much anyone who likes Fall from Heaven will probably like Fall Further.
Since it's a mod, they have to install Fall from Heaven latest version. And then what?
Once they've installed Fall from Heaven's latest version, then they just download an installer package, and it'll automatically copy their Fall from Heaven directory, rename it, and then install all of our stuff.
Ooh.
And since we use our own custom resource folder, it has to have just the right folder name and everything. So this streamlines everything, and it makes a shortcut on the desktop, and pretty much completely self-contained.
Wow.
It's just, we have based it on Fall from Heaven still because there's a whole lot of artwork that you get off of Kale's download that just makes our download that much smaller by copying it.
I see.
But
indeed.
At this point, there's maybe 3 or 4 files that we have not modified from the base Fall from Heaven.
3 or 4?
Yeah, that's about right.
Let me ask you a unrelated question, but in that boring thing we like to refer to as real life, what do you do?
I'm working on a PhD in physics.
Whoa! Wow.
Sweet.
What type of physics?
Pretty much just general right now. Most of the people in this area are focused on condensed matter.
Wow.
And I'm studying at the moment the, I'm not going to get into that because it's boring as hell to anyone that's not in physics and half the people that are.
Like white dwarfs?
No, that's more astro-type things. These guys are into, you know, like nanoparticle-type stuff.
Oh, so you're kind of into quantum, then.
Yep. Yeah, actually, I'm taking a class on quantum right now, and it's annoying as hell.
You're a quantum physicist.
So you micromanage a lot.
Oh, good one. In general, your mod is really, it sounds like you're trying to just be an expansion of the Fall from Heaven concept by adding sieves and stuff, but are you not really trying to change the core gameplay of it at all? Is that where you're going?
Initially, Vihem's ideal was that he wouldn't change the base game at all, that if you didn't use his new civilizations, it would be the same thing. But once he brought me on, we started playing with things, and lately Kale's been adding in a couple things that we look at, and since we're so deep into the code, we go, I'd do that a little different. So we have started to change the base civilizations a little bit now, but overall, it really is the expansion to Fall from Heaven. It's a the current slogan seems to be "Fall from Heaven with Stuff."
Call in today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, 44121-288-7659. That's 44121-288-POLY. You can Skype us at The Polycast or email us at polycast@apolitan.net.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Modcast, our sibling show Polycast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series' official website at polycast.apolitan.net.
So, we've had a lot of fun today. Some might say too much fun. Is that possible?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Not too much fun? It can't have been not enough fun. We had too much fun.
It was good. We didn't talk about face peels or collar movements or anything like that.
Oh, yeah, we didn't have any face peels today for once.
No leader ads at all. That might actually be a first? Question mark?
I think a few months back we had a modcast that had no artist sketch pad, so.
Oh, okay.
So I think that we might have done it before, but not very much. You're right. A lot of fun. We've got our modcast contender, Rough High, on today. You did great.
Thanks.
Might be the next host.
No pressure.
There's one final test. You know, Tony.
Oh, yeah, there is one final test.
I think you all know what it is.
That is right.
Managed to pass the obscure name pronunciation test.
Mm-hmm. Do I have to upload something?
No, you have to say something.
Oh, I know. I was actually going to lead with this, but, you know. Yeah, you got the reverb ready?
All right, do the...
Crikey. I can't believe I'm saying this. Oh, how about Struth?
I don't even know what that means.
No, that's another Aussie expression.
Wow, you dumbfounded us with that one. I've never heard that one.
Struth? You've never heard of that one?
We're American.
I suppose you've never heard of Sheila.
That's a person's name.
That's a girl.
Yeah, that's a girl. Yeah, there's a lot of Aussie slang, but Struth is basically an expression of "I can't believe that."
No.
Struth! Yeah. We have shenanigans here.
Yeah, but
I'll call shenanigans.
Is it a combination of hidden truth?
No, it's something else in truth. I believe it's an abbreviation of God's truth.
Struth. Oh, it's kind of a crunched together word. Mm. Well, today we have been joined with Wilder, Locutus, Snyders.
Bye bye.
Kenneth, Impaler WRG, Furland.
Farewell.
Tim, Rough High, Pratt.
Loves you all.
And me, Tony Garrett Zarka Keel, with special guest co-host, Jacob Zien Wolf Turner.
Fear the mod, 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 mod.
All right. We'll see all you wonderful listeners in a couple weeks. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
And by see, we mean that more like you will actually hear us.
All right, whatever.
Record date, September 28, 2008. Sound Clips, copyright Civilization IV and the Warlords of Beyond the Sword expansion packs. Copyright 2008, Apolitan Civilization site at apolitan.net.